All right. This morning from the Bible, thank you, Brother Matt, Matthew 26 and verse. I want to underline one verse, underline it in your Bible. The Bible says in Matthew 26 and verse 56, after the experience in Gethsemane, the Bible says, then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Henry Nouwen is a great theologian in our day and a great writer. Henry Nouwen, some of you have read his books maybe. And he said this, he said, loneliness is one of the most universal sources of suffering in our day. Listen to it again. Loneliness is one of the most universal sources of suffering in our day. Psychiatrists tell us today, they say that it is one of the most frequently expressed conflicts. Many times it leads to suicide and alcoholism and other problems. At Ohio State, they did some research with lonely people and they found that they have a weaker immune system. Social isolation is as significant to the mortality rates, in other words, to the death rates. Social isolation is more significant or as significant as smoking, high blood pressure, and obesity. Being lonely. It really, some researchers say it may be a greater risk than smoking to be socially isolated. At Stanford University, they did some tests with breast cancer patients. They put them in two groups. One group, Jerry, they had a support group where they put people in a group. They could talk to one another and discuss their problems. In the other group, they kind of isolated the people. And guess what they found in 5 years? They looked at them, Jack, for 5 years, and they found that after 5 years, the survival rate for people who were in that support group was twice as high as it was with those who had no support. So I want to tell you, all these statements are powerful statements on loneliness, isolation, and the withdrawal from people. We have here in Matthew 28 and verse 56, the key verse. It said, Jesus at night in the Garden of Gethsemane, Steve, after he came out of that garden, that they came to arrest him. And the Bible says that all his disciples forsook him and fled. At the very moment of his life, he needed them most. He needed those sundry who loved him. Jesus was lonely. But the great news of the gospel is this. The great news that I preach is Revelation 3:20, John, where Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any person will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And I'll come in and live in. That's what a Christian is. Somebody has God living on the inside of them. You don't ever have to be lonely. The Christian, God is, that's really what the gospel is. That says God has built a bridge from heaven to man. And the name of that bridge is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to have a relationship. God wants to have a relationship with us, Dorothy. Now I'll make 3 points real quick this morning. I have 10 minutes till it's 20 minutes at 11. Y'all believe I can do it in 10 minutes? Not a chance. Thad said not. But I can do it in about 15. Listen, 3 points real quick about loneliness today. Number one, the causes of loneliness. Number two, some examples of loneliness. Biblical example, and then number three, the cure for loneliness. Number one, the causes, the sources, why people are lonely. Number one, I believe, is some of it is self-created loneliness. Some people, Michelle, build an island of isolation around them because of, I think for some people, it's they self-created because they have their attitude is because of a negative attitude and a critical spirit. Some people have that kind of personality. They just have a repelling personality. I told them in the first service, Tommy, about 99% of the people I ever met in my life, I love them. I like them. I want to be around them. But there's probably about 1% that you really don't want to be around. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you ever met anybody that you didn't want to be around? Don't raise your hand, please. Because they might be here today. I don't know. Are they here today? But anyway, all of us probably know somebody that we'd rather not be around. And maybe it's because of their personality, but, you know, they drain you. You ever been around anybody and just drains you, just beats you down, tears you down, they're pulling all, you know, and you just say, I'd rather not be. And I think a good question for all of us to ask today is, what kind of person am I? Do people want to be around me? You know, do I create this loneliness? I think sometimes it's self-created. What kind of person am I? Am I a person that's pulling and taking all the time, or do I give? My wife, Martha, had a friend years ago and used to call us, and she'd call and they were close for a long time, but Martha got where she didn't really care for that person. She loved her, I know, but she said every time she calls, all she wants to talk about is her kids and her grandkids. And she said, she'll talk for 30 minutes and never even ask me about how my kids are doing. Have you ever, don't raise your hand, but I bet some of you know somebody like that. You know, it's all about, you know, so I think sometimes loneliness is self-created. And number two, I want to say, not only is it self-created, but I think there's some other kinds of loneliness. And the second one is circumstances beyond your control. Sometimes people are lonely because, and they can't help it. It's circumstances beyond their control. And I'm talking about the loss of a loved one. I'm thinking about, Skip, I was thinking about you this week. You wouldn't have had it that way, but you lose a loved one. And the readjustment period is hard. And it takes a long time. I've been through that period. I know that time of life. Many of you precious ladies, and I don't know how many. I've been here 3 years, and I buried a lot of people in this church, dozens of them. And I tell you, when I stood over there with Von Seal and her kids last Saturday, and I knew she's just a few minutes from heaven. And C and I stood over her, and everybody in that circle was crying like babies. And I knew, but I was crying because I'm going to miss her. I miss her being not being here. I miss her. And so sometimes people are lonely, and it's circumstances beyond their control. And then I want to say, I think another reason would be spiritual loneliness. Sometimes there's a spiritual problem. You're under spiritual attack, like old Elijah when he owned the Mount Carmel, and he had the contest with the prophets of Baal. And Elijah said, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. Make a choice. You got to choose. You can't be neutral about it. And then the fire came. He prayed the fire down that day. But right after that, you know what happened, don't you, Dr. Joe? He gets scared of Ahab and Jezebel, and he leaves, and he goes into the desert, and the Bible says he's lonely. He said, Lord, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one. Did you ever feel like that? Sometimes you say, I'm the only one. You could be in a crowd, but you feel like I'm the only one. It's just me. I think, but Elijah said, Lord, I'm the only one. And God said to him, Elijah, you're not the only one. I still have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. But sometimes there's spiritual loneliness. And then I want to say, number four, I think another reason is loneliness created by society. A loneliness created by society. What did I say? Number one is, I said, self-created loneliness. Nothing, Robin, is circumstances created by circumstances. Nothing is by spiritual reasons. And then number four is by society. Loneliness created by society. In other words, in this society, what are we today? What does society look for? You know, it's your rank and your social security number, isn't it, Colonel? Not your name. And sometimes we feel like we get lost in the shuffle, you know. It's 7 billion people in the world, and we feel so significant. We just feel lonely sometimes. Even in a crowd, you can feel lonely. Have you ever felt like in a crowd and be lonely? I went off to war right over here. How many of us lived in that garage? 5,000, wasn't it? 5,000. But I tell you, the truth is, I was separated from my family and all, and we were separated. And I tell you, the days in a crowd of 5,000, I felt lonely. You ever been there? Fifth type of loneliness, I tell you, is not only these first four, self-created, circumstances, spiritual, and then loneliness caused by society. But I want to say sometimes we choose to be alone. Loneliness by choice. Maybe because we just need to get alone and maybe make a spiritual decision or something we were wrestling with. We just need solitude. Jesus needed that. And that passage Matt read in Matthew 26, it said he took his inner disciples. He took those who were closest to him. Peter, James, and John. He took those who were closest to him and they went in. But the Bible says he left them and went a little further. They couldn't even go in there with him. They couldn't go. Just some things between him and God. He had to work it out between him and God. And so I think sometimes you feel loneliness by choice. Not that you want to feel empty. Not that you want to feel that ache, that pain. And sometimes if we lose a loved one, there's an ache, there's an inner ache, an emptiness that nothing else can feel. But I want to say this. Some examples of biblical loneliness. Do you think you're special because you feel lonely, have felt lonely? Well, some of the greatest, if you look back to some examples of loneliness, two of my greatest heroes in the Bible, one of them is David. And in Psalm 142, David said, I looked on my right hand and no man helped me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Nobody cared about me. Have you ever felt like that? Nobody cares about me. Nobody knows and nobody cares. That's what David said in Psalm 42. And then if you read, study the life of Paul, 2 Timothy, when he writes it in 2 Timothy 4, he said, At my first defense, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. That's terrible in a time, but by himself, that Paul was. And I tell you, every leader's felt like that, right, Colonel? Right, Sergeant Major? Every leader's felt like, sometimes just me, feel like a little old boy went to camp first time, 11 years old. Wrote a note back home, said, Dear Mom and Dad, I'm at camp this week with 50 boys at our camp. I sure wish there's 49. Sometimes you feel like it's just you. And sometimes I felt that as a leader. Sometimes a leader will have to do things nobody else understands. Nobody understands it. But it's just between you and God. It's lonely. I tell you, it's lonely at the top, isn't it? Is it lonely, Colonel? It's lonely at the top, isn't it? It's lonely down here on the bottom, too. I don't care where you are in life, it can get lonely sometimes. But I want to tell you today that some of the greatest men to ever live have been lonely. David went through it. The Apostle Paul went through it. Maybe you've gone through it. And maybe you're going through it. This message is for somebody here today. I don't know who it's for, but it's for somebody. Let me give you the cure for loneliness. Third point. Talk to you about the causes. The sources of loneliness, number two, was some good example, two good examples. Then the third thing is the cure for loneliness. What do you think it is? I'll give you three things. Number one, begin a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to have a relationship with Him. And that's why Jesus came, that you might have a relationship with God and so you wouldn't be lonely. And you need to begin a daily walk with Christ if you don't have that already. Take time for God. Loneliness is inner emptiness. But really, when God comes to live within you, you're not alone anymore. You'll never be alone again. I sang a song for them in that first service this morning. And those little kids sat down here at the choir. By the way, they left because they've already sung one time. They've heard the sermon. And about two-thirds of the choir left along with them, didn't they? But they'd already heard it this morning. But here's the song, Ben. You know it well, Ben McKee. It goes like this. And by the way, I love your tape you got, that CD, man. You can really do it. I want you to come sing one Sunday night, full long. Will you do that, Ben? No preaching, just singing, all right? It's great. But the song goes like this. It said, I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt since Dasher's breaking, trying to conquer my soul. Then I heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Sing the chorus with me. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. How many of you believe that? Amen. I know He lives in me. He promised never to leave you. Now here's the second thing. Focus on other people. Focus on other people. Start pouring your life into other people. If you're lonely, if you feel lonely, you ought to help somebody else. Dale Carnegie said this. He said, you will get more friends in 2 months trying to be interested in them than you will in 2 years trying to get them interested in you. Do you hear that? You will win more friends in 2 months taking an interest in them than you will in 2 years trying to get them to be interested in you. Pour your life into other people. And then the last thing is this. Paul said in Philippians 4:11 that whatsoever state I'm in, there I am what?
Be content.
Whatsoever state you're in. He said, I'm not looking for tomorrow. I'm not looking back to the old good old days. We had some good old days, didn't we, Helen? How many of y'all had some good old days?
Amen.
Some good old days. Good old days. And this Charlie, good old days, right? I had some good old days. You've heard about a lot of them. How many of you are going to have some good tomorrows? Guarantee you. But I tell you something. Don't focus on that. I know people that can squeeze all the juice out of today, the joy out of today, looking for tomorrow. Say, hey, when the house, Christina, when the house gets empty, when we have an emptiness, or 10 years down the road, or when we retire, C and I talk about this all the time. Places we're going to go, things we're going to do. That's good, but I tell you, you can get so wrapped up in that that you can mess up today. It'll mess up today. I don't want to mess up today. I want to enjoy today. I told C the other day, I said, you know what? We're having some of the best times. We're making memories every day. And we're doing it in this church. Can you imagine what God, hey, God's been so good. Glory, the last 3 years had. God's been good. We're going to have revival tonight. But I tell you what else, we've had revival for 3 years in this place. You may not have, but I have in my soul. I've had it for 3 years. And I'm going to tell you, I want to enjoy today. We don't worry about tomorrow. Somebody told me this week, I liked it. They said, they's on the bus ride of life. Think about this, John. On the bus ride of life, and I'm just waiting to find out where my stop is when I get off the bus. 8 years ago, the doctor called me one day and said, Colonel Moore, you have cancer. And I thought about it this week. I said, you know what? I could have been dead 8 years ago. I had a, any of y'all ever had a premonition or a flashback or want to time warp, something like that? You ever been in a place, say, I know I've never been here before, but in your mind, you've already been there somehow. I had an experience like that this week, and it just flashed back on me, Rick, about how fearful I was during that time. It jumped back on me. 8 years, went back to 8 years, and thought about it. I could have been dead a long time ago. But every day, sir, I may be not even supposed to be here. Maybe you're not supposed to be here. But we all hear about the grace of God. And so my third point about loneliness, being lonely, just enjoy today. Enjoy the life God has given you today. Make the most of today. Don't worry about yesterday. It's gone. We're not promised tomorrow. Enjoy today. And then I say just one last thing. If you knew today would be your last day, what would you do? If you knew today was the last day, I tell you one thing I'd do. I talked to her a night or two ago, but one thing I'd do, for sure, you know what I'd do, don't you, Sandra? I'd call that little 90-year-old lady over in Mississippi and tell her again how much I love her. I'd call those three babies. I'd call 2 daughters, both of them married soldiers at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I'd tell them. And I'd call my boy in Texas. I don't know, I'm with C, so maybe I'd write her a love note or something. Here's the point. If there's something that you knew today would be your last day and there's something you need to do, you ought to do it anyway. You need to do it. And one of them might be to get right with God and just say, Lord, it's been a long time. My relationship with you is not what it ought to be. And there's a loneliness in my heart. And I want to come back today. You can renew that. You can renew that relationship. Like that prodigal boy that came out of the far country, you can come back and say, God, I want to get on praying the ground again. Tommy, thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your prayer. I want to get on praying ground again. I want to get on a personal relationship with you. I want to cultivate that. I want to grow in Christ.